Good morning. Welcome this fourth Sunday of Lent to Queen Anne Lutheran Church, where we proclaim the love of God in Christ for every person. It's nice to see each of you here. It's nice to have a little bit of sunshine out for a change as well. As always, we ask as a gift to yourself and your neighbor that you silence your phones during this time. We practice open communion, which means that all are welcome at the table. If you wish to receive a blessing in place of the Eucharist, simply fold your arms. Our message this morning, appropriately Lutheran, is grace and gratitude. Our gathering hymn, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing, is number 807 in the red hymnal. Please rise as you are able. Our service begins with the apostolic greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace and feed us at the table of fellowship through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading is from Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. By celebrating the Passover and eating the produce of the promised land instead of the miraculous manna that had sustained them in the desert, the Israelites symbolically bring their 40 years of wilderness wandering to an end at Gilgal. A reading from Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I've rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day, on the day, they ate the produce of the land. And the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Word of God, word of life. second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. One way to describe the gospel is the promise that in Christ everything is transformed into newness. All mistakes, all deliberate sins, all old history is reconciled with Christ's resurrection. This is Paul's powerful message to the congregation in the city of Corinth. A reading from 2 Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entrust you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, the source of life, and from Jesus, who is that life and light in the world. Amen. As you know, there are many mysteries associated with the Christian faith. How, for example, can we say that God is one if God consists of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or how can we say that Jesus is both divine and human, one person, two natures? And what is the relationship between these two natures, if anything? Or again, how can we say the eternal God somehow exists in time by becoming incarnate in a human being? Beyond all these, however, there is a question that has perplexed and confused people attending Queen Anne Lutheran Church for generations. And that question is this: what exactly is the pastor's discretionary fund? What is its function? I'm sure this keeps you up at night. What is its purpose? Where does the money come from? What difference, if any, does it make in the lives of people living out in the real world? Well, this morning, boldly, fearlessly, and without trepidation, I am going to solve for you the mystery of the pastor's discretionary fund by not only answering each of these questions, but also by sharing a story about it that illustrates in two words the essence of the Christian faith from a Lutheran perspective. That's a tall order. Do you think we can do it? Yes. Then let's get right to it. Simply put, the pastor's discretionary fund is the fund from which I draw to provide financial assistance to those in need on your behalf. This money does not come from our general operating budget. Instead, it comes directly from you. Your donations, big or little, large or small, make it possible for me, again on your behalf, to make a difference in the lives of others by helping a variety of people in difficult circumstances who come every week to Queen Anne Lutheran Church for help. Over the years, money from the pastor's discretionary fund has been used to prevent people from being evicted. It's put food on the table for families who had, as they tell me repeatedly, nowhere else to turn. And during the holidays, it's been used by grandparents and parents to purchase toys for their grandchildren and children, toys they otherwise could not afford. And here's the thing. Every time I offer financial assistance, again, on your behalf as a congregation, I make it clear that there are absolutely no conditions. There are no strings attached. The money they receive is not a loan. It is totally, entirely, and completely a gift. The recipient does not need to pay us back, nor does the recipient need to worship with us. The only thing I ask is that each recipient remembers that the Lutherans are the nicest Christians around, and that giving unconditionally, giving without strings attached, is fundamental to who we are as Christians. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, most recipients, to be sure, are grateful. Yet of all the people we've helped, and I'm speaking here of those who do not belong to the congregation, there is one person who stands out. I will call her Amy. 6 months ago, Amy moved to the area with her daughter. As a single parent, she got a job at a local school, but because of moving expenses, she didn't have enough money to pay for all her bills, particularly the car insurance, which would enable her to get to and from work. Amy called around to various nonprofits, but nobody could help her out. And so, on a whim, presumably as a person of faith, she called us. And we, that is thanks to you, were able to help Amy. We paid for her car insurance. We made it possible at a very difficult time in her life, a time of transition, a time biblically we might say in the wilderness, for Amy to make it through, to land on her feet. Naturally, Amy was grateful. She promised to join us for worship and to update me on her status. A couple months later, and this is to her credit, Amy emailed me to share that she was now on her feet. Our gift made a difference by enabling her to purchase that insurance, as I said, to get to and from work. It didn't solve all of her problems, but it was the Band-Aid she needed to keep keeping on. After that email, however, I never heard or saw from Amy again. Until last week. Out of the blue, I got a voicemail message from Amy. She said that because of what our church did, she and her friends started a Bible study. Now she wanted to support us financially, not because she owed us, but purely out of gratitude for the gift she received at a difficult point in her life. Now, as far as I know, Amy is not a Lutheran. Can't be perfect. She never mentioned Luther's small catechism, nor did she ever talk about attending a Lutheran church. But in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, Amy reminded me of what lies at the core of our faith as Lutheran Christians. Two words: grace and gratitude. Think about it. Life and its renewal are not things we earned. We are not the source of our own existence. These are things we receive, and that's grace. Faith, then, is simply acknowledging the gift of grace and responding with gratitude. In other words, we do good things for others because of what God has done for us. Martin Luther captures this perfectly. He writes, "Truly, if faith is there, one cannot hold back. One proves oneself, breaks out into good works, confesses and teaches the gospel before the people, and stakes his or her life on it. Everything she lives and does is directed to her neighbor's profit in order to help him, not only to the attainment of his grace, but also in body, property, and honor. Seeing that Christ has done this for him, he thus follows Christ's example." Like the younger brother in our gospel reading for today, we were lost, but have been found. Not on account of anything we did, but purely and totally, in the case of the parable, by the Father's love. Like the Apostle Paul in our second reading for today, we were separated from God, but are now being reconciled by God to God in Christ. All of it, our life, our reconciliation with God, our renewal, our ongoing transformation, all of it comes from God. How then could we be anything but grateful? Even the atheist Richard Dawkins says, "We won the cosmic lottery just by the mere fact that we exist, the odds against which are about 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, theistic or not, by giving back because of what's been given to us. Dear friends, the Christian faith has many mysteries, much of which was solved at this morning's forum thanks to Lynn Hofstad. There are others we will solve at our forums as well, but today we have solved one from the pulpit. The pastor's discretionary fund exists as one of many ways each of us can give back because of what we have been given. Your gift, big or little, large or small, to the pastor's discretionary fund, write it in the memo of a check, indicate it online, to Queen Anne Lutheran Church, or to other organizations like Lutheran Disaster Relief or Lutheran Community Services Northwest, can make a difference. I have to say, it is so easy right now to feel powerless in this world, but this is one thing you and I can do. That is, through our talents, our treasures, and our time, we can make small differences, maybe not to change the world, but at least to make this corner of it a little better. But don't take my word for it. Just ask Amy. Amen. By grace and with gratitude, let us confess the words of our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For the prayers of the church, please be seated or kneel.
Reconciled by God, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. God of hope and healing, make your church a new creation in Christ as you reconcile us to yourself. Enable us to respond with gratitude that we may bear witness to your love. Lord, in your mercy. Source of life, your power continually sustains and renews creation. Teach us to live in greater harmony with what you've made. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, bring together nations of goodwill. Give our elected leaders the courage to stand up to tyranny and work for the well-being of all, especially those who are losing vital services and benefits in the name of efficiency. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of boundless love, help us accompany those who suffer. Embrace all who are far from home or estranged from loved ones, and all those who live with regret. Teach us to offer and seek forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. God of radical inclusion, help Queen Anne Lutheran to lean into its mission of proclaiming your love in Christ to all people, especially those whom our leaders increasingly marginalize. Give us the strength to speak up on their behalf. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For whom or what do the people of God pray? Not a prayer, but thanks to Kyle and to the choir, who sound really good up here.
Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for all those across the world who struggle. We pray for the families of victims of the earthquake in Myanmar. We pray for all the victims of war in the Ukraine and the Middle East and Sudan. And we pray for the struggles we face here at home, that you give us the spirit of courage to stand up instead of merely standing by. We pray for Bruce, for Abiba, for Eden and her family. We pray for Bill Kavanaugh, for Heidi's brother Peter, for Mar Araya. We pray for the family of Marilee Kipfer. We pray for Amy's family, for Cindy's daughter-in-law, for Barb Koziel, for Jackie's family, for Judy's friend Donna, for Lori, for Grace, for Sarah's sister and Brian's dad. We pray for Almaz, for Denny, for Wayne, for Allie's friend Sarah, for Kurt, Lisa, and Malachi. We pray for Lisa's husband, Scott, for Jeannie, for Avatash Mulugeta, for Richard McNeese, Hildy Glore, Jean McLaughlin, and Barb Guyatin. Lord, in your mercy.
God of new beginnings, we thank you for the examples of people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood up, and Rosa Parks, who sat down when the circumstances demanded it. Teach us to do the same. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love, in the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life.
Amen. Please rise as you are able. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of this peace, this reconciliation with one another. Please rise as you are able for the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, prior to his arrest, torture, and crucifixion, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." As we prepare our hearts for this holy meal, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Martin Luther teaches that though God in Christ fills all things, God meets us in a special way, in a personal way, and a forgiving way, where God has been promised, namely in, with, and under the bread and wine of Holy Communion. All are welcome to receive. If you wish to have a blessing in place of the Eucharist, simply fold your arms. All who are hungry, come. The feast of grace is spread. You may be seated. Generous host, you have met with us in the sacramental act of sharing and made us new. Send us now to be emissaries of grace in the world, that your liberating love might nourish the world into freedom. In the name of the crucified one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated briefly for announcements. We have more than a couple of them. First, I'd like to invite forward Cantor Kyle.
Good morning. Next week, we have a pop-up choir, so you can come sing. If you read music, great. If you don't read music, great. We'll meet at 9:15 in the choir gallery, and we'll put together some music and look at the music throughout the service here and there with little bits and pieces and some extra stuff, and we'll present it for worship at 10:30. So we'll meet from about 9:15 to 10 or 10:15, and the Queen Anne Choir, of course, will join us as well, and a good time will be had by all. See you next week.
Good morning. This Tuesday, we'll be having the Silent Sip and Read at 7 p.m. in the narthex here. Bring your favorite book. You'll have a quiet space to read. You can purchase some wine if you'd like, or choose from the other non-alcoholic options we have. And then afterwards, chat with people around you about the book you're reading and hear what they're reading. Due to unforeseen circumstances last Tuesday, the bartender got sick at Good Society and they closed. We have postponed our lively discussion about suffering until April 8th. So a week from Tuesday, 7 p.m., Good Society will have another pub theology with a theme of suffering. So hope to see you there.
Good morning, everybody. The spring is flying by, Lent is flying by, Easter will be here soon. On Easter morning, we're going to have our annual Easter breakfast, and there is now a sign-up sheet out in the narthex. We're looking for help. So that morning, if you can come early and help with setup, or if you're able to bring an egg dish, or help with kind of preparing everything. And then also we need help afterwards with cleaning everything up. If you can't help that day, there's also set up the day before. So we're also looking for volunteers to come in on Saturday and just kind of help prep things for a couple of hours. If you have the time, we would love to have you come help us. Again, the sign-up sheet is out in the narthex. Thank you. Oh, and yeah, in case you didn't remember, Easter is on April 20th.
Just a few more announcements. First, we, of course, are still in Lent, and so we just concluded today a four-part series on the Atonement, the last two sessions of which were led by Dr. Lynn Hofstadt, our programming director. So it was a fantastic series. There's information about the next series coming up in April on the environment. I encourage you to be there if you can. For this coming Wednesday, we have once more our midweek noon Lenten service in the beautiful chapel. And then Wednesday evening here at Queen Anne Lutheran, we will be joined by Ballard First Lutheran, have a light soup and supper at 6. 6:30 will be led in conversation by Pastor Eric of Ballard First Lutheran. And then at 7:15, we'll have a brief worship in the chapel. So please join us for that if you can. Are you interested in becoming a new member of Queen Anne Lutheran or transferring your membership from another congregation, unless it's Presbyterian? Then we encourage you. Just kidding. I don't have anything against Presbyterians. It just always comes to mind. On Pentecost Sunday, which is in June, we are going to formally welcome new members of the church. Right now we have one person interested, but if there are others or if you have questions about it, please see me. I'm contemplating offering a three-week refresher course on what it means to be Lutheran, and I would love to do that for as many people as possible. So if you are interested or if you know someone who might be, please send them my way. One way to respond to the grace we have received is to stand up for other people, in particular the less fortunate. If you feel so inclined, there is information about the hands-off rally and protest, which will be happening next Saturday, April 5th, after the Saturday Seekers. from noon to 3 at the Seattle Center. We have several members about which I know are going, and I will probably be going myself. So if you're interested, there's more information about that in the narthex. Are there any other announcements for the good of the congregation? Then please rise as you are able for the blessing. By grace and with gratitude, receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God make God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. Our sending hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, is number 779 in the red hymnal. Instructions for the singing of the hymn are printed in the bulletin.